Blog Talk Radio.
No, you don't let me go.
Now, you see, Saints, you see what Sister Marie did? She messed us up for the rest of the day. Now we just want to have church. Now we just want to have church. Sister Marie should be messing with us. We got to end it there because if we don't, we won't have this broadcast today. Sister Marie's always doing that to us. She's always throwing in those records that really cause us to just want to have church. But this ain't church. This is the End Time News Report. Praise God. Sister Marie, how you doing today?
Well, I'm doing all right. I'm
you gotta
loving
give
that song. I love that.
Yeah, listen,
I really do.
You gotta give us end time news music, not church music, because we're gonna want to have church.
That gets me going.
Absolutely. Are you cold by where you're at? Because I'm freezing over here today.
Well, we had that yesterday, and it's going to warm up this week, but not like we had on the weekend. You know, with the 80s.
Sure.
We're gonna get to the 50s and maybe 60, but yesterday it was 40, 39 and 40. It was cold.
Oh, my goodness.
But
it's freezing.
Sunny.
It's sunny, but it's freezing. It's freezing.
Yes.
So,
I know. We had that yesterday.
Absolutely.
Terrible.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, yeah, now, you see, now we're going to have news, and I got to tell you, there's so much news going on. I like everything you sent over today. It's going to be a great show today. And
well, thank you.
It's been a while since we did news because we were doing the Church of Tares, which was a wonderful series, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Wonderful
thank
series.
You.
All righty. So,
yeah, I thank him for putting that out. I thank him for putting that out because, I mean, that's really enlightening, especially about, you know, Drucker and Wagner. And what's his name?
Warren. Rick Warren.
So many names. More.
Rick Warren, yeah.
Thank
Absolutely.
You. I'm still tapping to the music here, reading my paperwork.
Right.
So, anyway.
So we're set up
anyway,
for this wonderful broadcast today, and there's so much news going on in the world, so much, you know. On a high note, and again, this is tentative now, on a high note, every now and then God will throw a monkey wrench into the machinery of Satan in that Elon Musk just bought Twitter. So, you know, just when we thought when all social media was going downhill fast, here's a guy who has the money to buy Twitter. And listen, I've never been on Twitter. I've never sent a tweet.
Right.
I wouldn't know how to.
Right. Yeah, I'm not
You know,
either.
I don't look at Twitter or anything like that, but at least here's one guy who is buying it in order to ensure that there is free speech, not just one-sided speech. But free speech,
right?
So, and everybody's
having
a connection.
Well, we have a story on that.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah, I think we do in here. I think we have it, and it's not on the sale of it. It's more of what he's doing. So we'll have to see.
Yeah, sure.
I think we have one in here. Yeah, Audio 6. It's a digital agenda. Though we have to remember that. That's going to be a digital agenda with Twitter. I mean, not just Twitter. It's going to be with everything. But,
everything.
You know,
everything
I think I have something. Yeah. I have something with Hugo on this, on him today. So,
Excellent.
Yeah, interesting. Well, we had another purchase. And I'm going to give you a little background on this. I had it allegedly on this when I started, but it was just confirmed. I just saw about 2 hours ago that JD put this out too. Now, it's funny, he put this story out. I got it the other day through a secular source. So
okay.
That's why I was waiting and I put allegedly on it. But once JD got a hold of it, I knew it was okay, you know, to
right,
go.
Right, right.
The source I got it from, I don't want him stalked or doxed, but it's someone that I've talked to you about that has information that, you know, I may go against what he believes and things he does and who he's associated with, but he puts
mm-hmm.
out a lot of information to his people that subscribe to him. And that information could be valuable to the church, you know?
Right.
And I find it odd that David E. Taylor made it on a secular show. You see what I'm saying? This was interesting.
Sure.
How did his name come up, you know, with this
right.
guy? So I found that amazing, just a connection. You know, then when I saw JD put it out, I thought, yeah, well, it's true. You know, so it appears that Mr. Taylor here has just purchased an $8.3 million purchase, you know,
mm-hmm.
and this guy says he did it to hide money.
Okay.
And the thing was, no one would even realize this, but since he purchased this ministry, he calls it, from the co-owner of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Okay.
The former owner, I think co-owner of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It made news.
Right.
And the person putting the news out had no idea who David E. Taylor was. You see?
I see.
The only
see.
Reason that, yeah. So this story comes out about David E. Taylor but making this $8.3 million purchase, you know, a ministry, but it was more about the co-owner selling it, you know what I mean?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Then, and had no idea that that just put him on the church map again, you
sure,
know,
sure.
watch list for
yeah.
the church. So, yeah, it's located in a blue-collar neighborhood. Now, this is what this guy found interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It's located in a blue-collar neighborhood, which means people work every day, you know, pay their
sure,
bills.
Factory jobs.
Yeah, just blue-collar.
Mm-hmm.
But it's surrounded by a high-crime area in Florida. And this guy feels that Taylor may turn this into a cult playground. This is what he's thinking.
Right.
Like he has here,
mm-hmm.
you know, in, you know, up in Taylor. So
sure.
he put it under the name of Kingdom of God Global Church. And this guy contends that this is a money laundering business using a 501c3.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
right.
he explained how this happens. Now, none of this is in JD's article because he has got his source from a different place than
right.
I got mine, and I wouldn't expect him to be listening to something
mm-hmm.
that I was,
right.
you know, listening to. So,
sure.
you know, he had former churches called, the one church he had was Resurrection Media Ministries. You know, these all go under, and then he just changes the name. Now, this guy got into that deposition. Remember the deposition that he had in court?
Right.
Where he was saying, you know, about Michelle?
Right.
This guy actually had a shirt on that said, what did that shirt say? He had a picture of David E. Taylor on his shirt. And he put AXE Michelle.
Right.
picture of David E. Taylor.
Right.
I'm sorry, I got a cold. Is that sinus yet?
That's all right.
Well, I'm going to burst out coughing if I laugh too hard. But it was funny. He had a shirt on. He put Action to Shill on. He's telling the story. Oh, can't make this up. Okay.
Right.
So no one knew how that deposition, or I don't know. I didn't hear how that deposition came about, but this guy told us. So I guess that was about a lady. She got a large divorce settlement, and she gave it to Taylor. So she went back to her ex-husband, and she says, I need more money. Well, she already gave the money to Taylor, and it was about $1.5 million.
Get out of here.
So the husband, yeah, absolutely.
That's why that deposition absolutely. Came about? That's why that deposition came
yes.
about?
Yes. Now, none of this JD knows, so I might just pass this on to him.
Right,
but
right,
I have
right.
to pass the guy over. Yeah, $1.5 million. Now, this is was confirmed by an insider, okay?
Okay.
Too. So
right.
the husband says, where's the money I gave you? She then
right.
explains that it went to Taylor. So the husband, who had a lot of money, insisted
right.
on finding where the money actually went, and bingo, the deposition. So he got a deposition on it. He must have reported it, you know, turned it in to the IRS.
Right, right,
I'm
right.
not sure how that came about, other than this was over a woman giving him money. Now, the people who were deposed in that were Michelle Brennan, David E. Taylor, and, of course, the ex-wife, you know.
Wow.
So, yeah, we only saw Taylor.
Right, right.
You know, that was the only one televised, but I didn't know that. So during the deposition, none of these people produced any receipts or records to prove what they were saying.
Hmm.
You know, remember
wow.
he kept saying, ex Michelle?
Right. Right.
So I can't laugh with this cold. So when Michelle was deposed, she had no receipts. And she kept saying, ask Ashley, because she takes care of everything. So you have David E. Taylor saying, ex Michelle. Then you
right.
Michelle saying, ask Ashley, because no one keeps records, right, on anything there. Or if they do, we'll never see them. So they were passing the buck around. So that's how, you know. So the deposition is what really put Taylor on the map, you know, on YouTube. So people,
right.
you know, knew who he was, so to speak. So then he buys this mansion in Tampa. Like I said, this guy is concerned again because it's a blue collar with, you know, rough area
sure.
around it. He said there's crime, drugs, prostitution all around the area.
Right.
So he mentioned that he already bankrupted that Resurrection Media Ministries, Joshua Media Ministries,
that's
and
bankrupt?
Now,
Joshua Media Ministries
yeah.
is bankrupt?
I don't know about that one. He said Resurrection Media Ministries was
okay.
bankrupt. But then he said Joshua Media Ministries, you know, he mentioned that name in there. So I'm not sure if he meant
right.
that was bankrupt too. But now he's moved on to Kingdom of God Global Church. And I can tell you, I looked, and yes, the church in Taylor, Michigan, is called Kingdom, it's now called Kingdom of God, excuse me, Global Church. So, you know, and it's amazing because this is what the guy was saying. What he does is he shoves all his ministries, it's one ministry under a bunch of different names. He just keeps changing the name.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what someone in business, I think, would do. I don't know.
Right, right, right.
He also has, you know, it's Marvels in America World Healing, which is basically what he's teaching there is time travel. Can you believe that?
Sure.
Yeah. So now if David Taylor just bought the mansion, like I said, nobody would know unless that article come out about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You know, no one would have even thought about it. But like I said, she had a little knowledge of Taylor. So, but one of the things he's doing now is he takes in cryptocurrency. And this is what bothers this guy. He said cryptocurrency has no money trail. You know, it's unsubstantiated income coming in. So I didn't know that. I had no idea with that. That's what he says. So his crypto number wallet has been on all his live streams. And this guy was paying attention, and he drew in between 7 and 10,000, he said, in one night.
Right.
So he found that odd. This guy's keeping an eye on him. So there's no law against giving to these people, you know, giving them your money, but they're manipulating you, you know, and they're getting scammed and hurt. So, so the question is, and this man had the question, why is Mr. Taylor not in jail for fraud? Well, this guy is taking this information and filing charges against him again.
Right.
So we'll see what happens. You know, he feels that somewhere down the line, these religious cults will be labeled domestic terrorists, and that will affect solid churches.
Right.
So, and there's so much, because there's so much money being filtered through these mega churches, you know.
Sure.
And this cryptocurrency is, can be a culprit in this. This is what he feels. Okay, this is his opinion on it. But he even mentioned Paula White, Kenneth Copeland, and Jesse Duplantis in there.
Sure.
Now, this is a secular show.
Right.
I'm going to tell you, I found that interesting that they had more info than the church has. You know, I looked at J.D.'s article, and he had none of this extra information.
Right,
so
right.
He mentioned how Copeland took a nonprofit organization and funneled it through a for-profit business in oil, cattle, and gas. And thinking about that, that's correct. That's what
right.
he did. He took the nonprofit, funneled it through a profit business where he's making money. And then he mentioned Joel Osteen. When he got called out about the stimulus that he took, he gave back $4 million, you know, in that because people were on him about that. And he brought up the fact that a plumber found $600,000 in a wall in the church bathroom at Joel Osteen's, you know. But that was the same amount that happened to be reported missing 6 years earlier. So technically, he said, the mega churches have been turned into a business. We knew that. We just did a show on it. That doesn't pay taxes. You know, I mean, this is what's
That's
happening.
That's what, you see, and see, this is why if Joshua Media's or the Resurrection Church went out of business, you have to ask that moron, David E. Taylor, how does a company that doesn't pay taxes, how does it go out of business? Well, the way it goes out of business is you have a moron, you know, driving the ship. That's how, because think about it. Every, you know, there's a little restaurant down the road from me, right? And those people, they've been in business even through COVID. They survived. How do those people survive? Well, they have good business sense. How does anybody survive in business? You got to have good, because you know you got to pay taxes.
Yes.
It's not just, this is not just payroll and, you know, the margin of the things you buy and the things you sell. It's not just that. You also have to pay Uncle Sam. These people don't pay Uncle Sam, and they still go out of business.
Yes.
They have an advantage over everybody else, and they still go out of – now, I got to tell you, David E. Taylor's mouth didn't go out of business because the guy is so big. He's so huge. His mouth didn't go out of business. So
that's right.
It's amazing. It's amazing to me how these people get over. And the only one that I've ever seen prosecuted all these years is Kuntz, Todd Kuntz.
Yes.
He's the only one who got an orange jumpsuit. Everybody else has gotten pretty much off. Reverend Ike, listen, Reverend Ike was the first one to do what Kenneth Copeland has done. Reverend Ike was the first one to do that, to take a nonprofit and turn it into a mega business.
Right.
You know, they're all following Reverend Ike's model.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, listen, Reverend Ike got so wealthy from his business, from his businesses, that he quit the non-for-profit.
Yeah.
He quit the church circus because he was so rich from the other stuff.
Right. Right.
So it is what it is.
Amazing. Yeah, if you and I did that, we'd never see the light of day again, you know, if we didn't pay our taxes.
Right.
So they
have commercials every day.
You know,
I hear commercials every day. If you owe the IRS $10,000, we have a solution for you. Don't sleep. Don't lose sleep at night. Don't call us. You know, what? And these people, how much money does David E. Taylor own? How much money does Benny Hinn owe the IRS? Reverend Sharpton, Reverend Ausch, how much money does that clown own the IRS?
Yeah, really.
Right?
Really.
And they're all getting over. They're all getting over. And they go and they went to the White House to get PPD money from Trump.
Mm-hmm.
They all did.
Yep.
So it is what it is.
It's amazing.
It is.
Well,
this guy
feels that this is money laundering. You know, this is what this guy calls it, you know.
Right.
Because he says he has three organizations under one ministry. He's had three under the same ministry.
Right.
And another thing he's worried about, you know, think about this. He said, you know, Heaven's Gate, he mentioned Jim Jones, David Koresh.
Mm-hmm.
One man got a multitude of people to commit mass suicide in each one of these cases. He says, if things eventually come down on Taylor, he may do the same.
Right, right.
You know, except I think Taylor likes himself too much.
Sure, sure.
That's my opinion, you know.
Sure.
Oh, so that's an update on David E. Taylor.
Wow.
But I found it interesting that why wasn't that burst out in the church? You know, why wasn't the church getting the news? Because I've had that for a few days. Nowhere, nothing about it. And I thought, surely somebody.
Yeah, the church rats don't rat out the church rats.
Yeah, maybe
see, that's what it.
It
is. They, you know, it they don't do it. They don't do it.
Yeah. Well, I found it interesting because it was on the site that, you know what I'm saying, that I went to or had listened to. I found it interesting it was there, if you think about it. You know, why would they be ratting, you know, Taylor out like that? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, strange.
Right.
Just strange times. So, okay, we have audio 1 and 2. This will get you fired up. Homosexual pastor says the Holy Spirit told him the Bible is wrong about homosexuality. Now, we have two audios here, and they're at the bottom of the page, and they're under woke pastor clips, because I understand that those pages there are full of, you know, advertising and stuff,
right.
And it's hard to work through them.
Okay.
But this is Brandon Robertson. He is openly homosexual, a self-described pastor who installed himself as a biblical scholar and theologian. Now, and I am not sure who this man is interviewing him or talking to him. I have no clue. At first I thought, wow, he's, you know, who is he talking to? I've never seen him. Maybe you'll know. I don't know. But so we'll play audio one to hear what this theologian has to say.
Okay.
Do you accept LGBTQ as a norm or an abnorm?
I believe that God created LGBT people as LGBT people.
And is it a norm or an abnorm?
It's normal.
Oh, yeah? And why would God create LGBTQ?
Because it reflects his own image.
So you think God is an LGBTQ person?
I think God is big enough to reflect straight people, gay people, and everything in between.
So you think God is a drag queen?
Well, drag queens are not LGBT people.
Yes.
What's
an LGBTQ person?
I think the better question is, what is a drag queen? A drag queen is...
Queen is a man that dresses in a woman clothes or a woman that dresses in men clothes?
Either way, a drag king would be somebody, a woman who dressed as a man. And it doesn't have anything to do with sexual identity per se. Drag queens and drag kings are a form of artistic expression, not necessarily a sexual identity.
But a woman that dresses like a man, is she trying to be a man?
Not always. I think you're confusing transgender people and drag kings and queens.
But why would a woman dress in a man's clothes if she's not trying to pretend that she's a man?
It's both an artistic expression and an activistic expression.
That's amazing. And so you believe that God is a homosexual?
I believe that God reflects homosexuals and bisexuals and transgender people and straight people.
Really? What do you mean reflect them?
Well, in Genesis, God says, let us create humanity in our image. And I believe that all humans reflect the glory and image of God, including LGBT people.
But when I see LGBTQ people and radical homosexuals, I see Satan. I don't see God.
We see things differently. I'm surrounded by LGBT people in my life and in my world, and I see God's glory through them, and I see them passionately, many of them, in my own church, committing their lives to Christ and doing good in the world.
We got to listen to that again. I'm sorry. This is just too good.
Okay. We can.
Do you accept LGBTQ as a norm or an abnorm?
I believe that God created LGBT people as LGBT people.
And is it a norm or an abnorm?
It's normal.
Oh, yeah? And why would God create LGBTQ?
Because it reflects his own image.
So you think God is an LGBTQ person?
I think God is big enough to reflect straight people, gay people, and everything in between.
So you think God is a drag queen?
Well, drag queens are not LGBT people.
Yes. What's an LGBTQ person?
I think the better question is, what is a drag queen? A drag queen is...
Queen is a man that dresses in a woman clothes or a woman that dresses in men clothes?
Either way, a drag king would be somebody, a woman who dressed as a man. And it doesn't have anything to do with sexual identity per se. Drag queens and drag kings are a form of artistic expression, not necessarily a sexual identity.
But a woman that dresses like a man, is she trying to be a man?
Not always. I think you're confusing transgender people and drag kings and queens.
Well, why would a woman dress in a man's clothes if she's not trying to pretend that she's a man?
It's both an artistic expression and an activistic expression.
That's amazing. And so you believe that God is a homosexual?
I believe that God reflects homosexuals and bisexuals and transgender people and straight people.
Really? What do you mean reflect them?
Well, in Genesis, God says, let us create humanity in our image. And I believe that all humans reflect the glory and image of God, including LGBT people.
But when I see LGBTQ people and radical homosexuals, I see Satan. I don't see God.
We see things differently. I'm surrounded by LGBT people in my life and in my world, and I see God's glory through them, and I see them passionately, many of them, in my own church, committing their lives to Christ and doing good in the world.
That's amazing. That's
can't
amazing.
Can't make this up, can you? No.
No. You can't. Nope. And the interviewer is, he's excellent.
Yeah. I thought he did a great job.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he stood his ground, and I thought the questions he asked were great.
Absolutely.
They were great. You
Absolutely.
Know, I mean, he kept on it. He kept on him.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't back off. So in audio two, and this is from Jeff Maples here, who reports this, he also claimed and made the news that the news. I'll play audio two first, and then we'll go over the notes.
Okay.
Because we'll get more of an idea instead of me explaining different things.
Okay. Here it is.
Why does God speak against them in the Bible?
I don't think God does speak against them. I know what the six passages throughout the Bible say, but I imagine that me and you see the Bible differently. I think the Bible is inspired by God, but I think man wrote it, and I think the Hebrew people were living in a patriarchal society, and in a patriarchal society, they didn't like men having sex with men because that undermined patriarchy, and so they wrote against it and said God said it, just like so many people say God says things today.
How did your mind convince you that what you just said is true? Why would you let your mind, how was your mind able to convince you that God spoke against homosexuality in the scriptures, but you're saying that he didn't, that there were straight men who did that?
I would say the Holy Spirit convinced me.
The Holy Spirit convinced you that when God inspired the men in the Bible to say man should not labor man, a woman should not labor woman as a man and a woman be, and that it was an abomination against God. You thought the Holy Spirit told you God is lying?
No, the Holy Spirit told me that those were words of man, not words of God.
That's amazing. And so when God said that we should love one another, did the Holy Spirit tell you that wasn't God too, that that was man?
No, again, I think if you want to go into it, we can talk about how I view the Bible. I think...
No, just that question. When the Bible said we should love one another, is the Holy Spirit telling you that that's not God's idea, that it's man's idea?
Well, you see, Jesus said that, and the Bible says Jesus is the final and full revelation of God. So when Jesus speaks, I believe Jesus has the authority of God, and therefore I think that's true. That's a word of God.
But Jesus said don't lay with man as a woman would or a woman with another woman as a man would. You know, did you believe Jesus about that?
Jesus didn't say that.
Amazing.
I tell you, these are amazing clips. They are.
Yes. Yep.
This is.
Or you could have a field day with them.
Sure.
If we weren't doing a whole news show, you could take that apart and do, you know, have a field day with them. On everything that was said, you know,
it's
and
sad.
I realize
it's,
that, but
yeah, it's
you know,
it's
as
just
I was
sad.
Going through it,
it's just sad.
Oh, this is terrible. It's terrible.
Yeah,
it's more than
but,
sad.
Know,
it's terrible.
This is happening. This is happening, and the majority of the churches are not ready for what's coming down the pike.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yep. Yep.
This is the fourth wave feminism coming in.
Sure.
This is
sure.
the wave that's going to, you know, put you on the spot. Well, then you're a hater, right?
Yeah.
This is the one that's going to really get people.
Sure. You know, Apple.
Well,
today,
Jeff Maple.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, I was just going to say that Apple today released an emoji of a pregnant man. So, you know, they all want us pregnant now.
Yeah.
You know, they all want us pregnant. So, yeah,
Apple
put that out today. You know, a pregnant man. Wow.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, sure.
Well,
and,
Jeff reports in this that this man also claimed and made the news that Jesus used a racial slur in Mark chapter 7 during the account of the, is that Syrophoenician woman?
Yeah, that's nonsense.
It is nonsense. He said the woman essentially, now get what he says here, bucked up to Jesus, causing Jesus to repent of his racism and then to do the works he was supposed to do. Now, I think he's referring to Mark 7, 24 through 29. That was about the Jews getting the gospel first, you know, before the Gentiles and the woman saved. I mean, that one, if that's, they only put Mark chapter 7. I think it's 24 through 29. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, when Jesus said to the woman, he says, I can't take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Notice her response.
Yes.
She said, truth, Lord. What you said is true. I am a dog. And by the way, the Greek word for dog there is little poodle. It's a domesticated dog. There's different words for dogs in the New Testament. You know, you have the dog that a scavenger dog, a dog that doesn't belong to anyone in the neighborhood, doesn't have a collar, and goes to the garbage cans and is a nuisance. What Jesus is saying to this woman is, you're one of those domesticated dogs. You're a house dog. Now, just because you think you're in the house doesn't mean you are a child. A child is a member of the family. The dog really is not, because the dog does not proceed from the parents. It's just a pet whom the family loves. But what Jesus is saying is, you know, you're not saved. You're not. And her reply is, she says, truth, Lord. What you said is true, but even the crumbs that fall from the master's table does the dog benefit from. That's her. So she didn't say, Jesus, I'm mad at you because you called me the N-word, or you called me this, or you called me that. That's just nonsense.
That's just pure nonsense.
Yeah.
I mean, the Jews were getting the gospel first. That the message was for them. You know, it was their rejection. I believe it was a plan all along, but their rejection, you know, it was then delivered to the Gentiles. But, that was a plan. That was a plan. And her faith, you know, she reached out to him.
And by the way,
but
she, unlike, listen to me, check this point out. You have, because in the Gospels, in Mark and in Matthew, it says a woman of Canaan. So the suggestion that her ethnicity is black, because when you go back to Genesis chapter 10, verses 8 through 10, the Hamitic people, or the people that come from Ham, Noah's son, they're black, right? That's the Hamitic branch of the human race, the black portion. Okay, so if she's from Canaan, then she happened to be black. So that's why he said, it's a racial slur. It's a racial slur.
Yes,
no, it's not
exactly.
A racial slur. Okay, that's number one.
He dug for that apostasy. Go ahead.
Right. Number two, when you look in the black church and these black pimp preachers who take money from their people never get anything from these pimp preachers. They don't get anything from these false, after they sow their seeds, they get nothing from these false prophets in return. Number one, Jesus didn't ask her for a seed. Jesus didn't ask her for an offering. Jesus didn't ask her
That's
for a
right.
tithe. That's one. Number two, when she left Jesus, she left with what she wanted. Her daughter was healed immediately. The demon was cast
out.
So when you go to these pimp preachers, not only do you leave them with your money, but you leave with no miracle. You leave with no healing.
That's right.
So I'd rather go to Jesus than to the pimp preachers. That's it. So it is what it is. They're just, you know, sadly,
isn't
they're just lying.
Isn't terrible?
Yes.
Yeah.
Terrible. Terrible.
Yeah. You know. Terrible. He said that, he also said one more thing. I mean, he probably said a lot of things, but he said Jesus raising Lazarus and commanding him to come out was actually about him coming out as a homosexual.
Oh, wow. Sure.
This guy is so gone.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's the same, you know, the same kid here, the same kid.
Yep.
Wow.
He's been seared.
Oh, boy.
He's seared.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
Yeah. I mean, that's beyond. But, see, I told you this would get you in an uproar.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I told you that'd get you out under the seat, that one. Okay. This one, audio three, Todd Bentley, we're catching up on these people, says, crime doesn't happen in his neighborhood because of this. So let's hear Todd, who in this, I'd like to say, almost admits that he's being used. Well, he does admit that he's being used by demons in a roundabout way. You'll hear it
right
when he says it.
Right.
So it's only 2 minutes and 26 seconds.
Okay. Here it is.
I want to be a glory influencer. The only influencer I want to be, I don't need to be a public famous influencer on the internet, social media. I want to be a glory influencer. And I want to show up in a place, and because I'm standing in the line at Starbucks, the whole atmosphere is subject to what I'm carrying. I'm not subject to the atmosphere. That's why the theology of Jesus was, here I am in the open heaven I brought with me. That's why I've been able to go into countries all over the world where they said, oh, this is the graveyard for preachers. We've had every preacher come in. No miracles are going to happen here. And I said, I'm not subject to whatever you're under generationally. I'm operating from a higher place. So my expectation is when I show up in your city, I'm a co-laborer. I'm an ambassador. I'm important. I'm royalty. I'm government. You don't have to treat me that way, but the demons do. I don't expect it from people. That's the problem we make. We try to lord it over the people. We want the people to treat us like we're government and ambassadors and royalty rather than the demons. I couldn't care less about what the people think. I'm more concerned about, because I'm here right now, this shenanigans can't go on. I have things that have never happened in my neighborhood because I live there. Sure, I built my house and went outside and anointed my property because I said I have the authority because I own this. When you own something, you have authority, right? Sometimes when you rent something, you're a victim to, but when you own it, so I went out and anointed my property because I knew this was mine. But then I thought, my neighbors aren't going to anoint their property and they're going to build houses on my left and on my right. I'm going to go out and anoint their property before they get here because this is my neighborhood. And I just wanted the devil to know, no matter how dark it gets out there, you can't come into my neighborhood. And I love that. But we need to start with our city block. You need to start going in, kick all the demons off your street. And don't permit it in Jesus' name. No violence, no thief, no gangs, no murder, no rape. If I live here, this whole block. We need to start working out that kingdom. We need to start thinking consciously this way.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure.
I'm sure the God of this world does treat these wolves as though they're governors, ambassadors, and royalty. Because he's using them to try to take destroy souls.
The place was empty. Was there a lot of people there?
There's one. I only saw one person.
Yeah.
On the side.
Yeah. Absolutely, absolutely. And here's the thing. Here's the thing. He's lying. Because he did want to be a YouTube influencer. He did want to be royalty.
Mm-hmm.
He did want people to treat him. And the demons, no, listen, I'm cleaning up my neighborhood. Instead of anointing your neighbor's property, anoint your head. It's empty. It's anointed. That's what you should start
off with.
Oh, my goodness. He's anointing the neighborhood. Anointing the neighborhood.
He's been barred. He's been barred from other countries, and he wants to reach the world.
Sure.
He's preached at countries, and they won't let him back in. You know, I'll bet the crime left the old neighborhood when he left, too.
I mean, who would want him? And who would? What neighbors would want him? I wouldn't want that guy as my neighbor.
No, no, no. No, not at all.
Nobody would want.
No.
Who wants Benny Hinn as a neighbor? Who wants Kenneth Copeland as a neighbor? Do you want Marilyn Hickey as your neighbor? Please.
No.
Desi Duplantis. Do you want Desi Duplantis to be your neighbor? No way.
No.
Please.
No.
I would sell the house. I'm out of here. I'm out of here. This guy's moving next door.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll keep we have. That's
sure.
It, you know.
Sure.
But he said in that clip, the demons treat him as governors, ambassadors, and royalty.
No, of course.
You know, he said that. So, you know, I don't know, you know, kingdom he's looking for, but it's not the kingdom of God. Oh. So that's the update. He has one person that I see. Yes, he is.
Yeah.
He
demon.
Found that easy money, and he thought it was going to last forever. And people found out what he was and who he was and ran, and his own people got rid of him because he was trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing but trouble. Now
he's just
trying to make a – yeah.
Sure. He's just trying to, you know, whatever little offerings he can get.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's it.
Terrible.
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 Terrible. Absolutely.
Okay. So that's an update on him. You know, I did look at Jennifer LeClaire, and she's still preaching craziness. But she's
mm-hmm.
moving towards, like they all are, uniting together as one. And she actually had a black church congregation together, men and women, talking about unity, talking about, you know, the whites being the bad people. And, you know, she was using the CRT card, you know,
mm-hmm.
in
right,
the church.
Right, right, right.
So you can see that they're all, even though they do a lot of different crazy things, and she has all these crazy spirits, she's smart enough to gear to go with the script. You see what I'm saying? When they
right.
move, she follows. She knows.
She wants black church money.
Yeah.
That's what she wants.
Yeah. And she's
That's
following
she
the
wants.
Script. She needs
Absolutely.
To, you know. I mean, but she goes from crazy to preaching CRT. So
mm-hmm.
she knows exactly what she's doing, you know.
Right, right. Right.
Within the church. So, okay, audio 4, Champion of the Earth. This is about Darwinist Sir David Attenborough. Sir means he's been knighted by the Queen of England. I can tell you that because he's from England. So this shows that part of the New World religion involves love of Mother Earth. Isn't that pantheism or something? We talked
yes.
about that the other day. Okay. It will also show that this religion, because of their love of Mother Earth, will depopulate humans to protect her. That's the her being
right.
the earth.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we know that this whole agenda is to eliminate people in society that they don't want in society. So this is audio four. So we'll listen to it and you can make your comments afterwards.
Okay.
The natural world has got the balances right and we must restore things. Now we should give them a chance and save themselves and save us.
Hello, you're listening to Hugo Talks. I see that David Attenborough has been given an award. He's been named Champion of the Earth by the United Nations broadcaster. So David Attenborough is honoured for his commitment to instilling a love of the natural world and an urge to protect it, it says here. Champion of the Earth, you sir. You, Sir David Attenborough, with the power invested in me by the age of Aquarius, by the power of Grayskull, I ordain you the title of Master of the Universe, the Champion of the Earth. Yeah? Load of cobblers, gobbledygook, fakery, and delusion. The artificial inflation of egotistical celebrities by the use of made-up awards. In order to give the public the false illusion that these people are special and worthy.
Let me just say that we are deeply honored to award you the United Nations Environment Program Champions of the Earth Lifetime Achievement Award. Oh, you have the award. Wow.
And I'm truly, truly, extremely honored.
Well, thank you. It's our great pleasure and honor.
You know, the United Nations, we're in a new era. The United Nations is, without them, we will never solve the environmental crisis. The world has to get together. We are living in a new era in which nationalism is simply not enough. Nationalism we must wave goodbye to it.
Uh-huh. I've heard this before somewhere. Where did I hear this? Oh, it's a new era. Oh, we need to join together with the United Nations. We need to unify, become as one. Nationalism? No. Let's wave it goodbye. Let's have a new world order, a one world government, yeah? So predictable. You'll notice many of these jumped up individuals around the whole Great Reset are bestowed with loads of silly little meaningless tokens and awards. Klaus Schwab is a good example of this tactic. It's all about creating a false illusion so that when these people stand up and make a speech, it gives themselves this false validation that they, to the public, that they know better and that people should listen to them because they're special. Look at all the awards David Attenborough has been given by the establishment. I mean, look, Knight Bachelor Commander of the Royal Victorian Order, International Cosmos Prize. Look at them all. Knight Grand Cross of the Order of St. Michael and St. George, the Perfect World Foundation Award, and so on. And now he has Champion of the Earth. Well, I'll tell you something. He certainly is not Champion of the People, not in reality, because he don't like people. He wants them to stop multiplying. Here we see, population growth has to come to an end, says David. Noted Darwinist Sir David Attenborough calls humans a plague. Yeah, he may be the champion of the earth, but he thinks the people who populate it are a plague. I wonder if he considers himself to be a plague. Didn't stop him having a family, though, did it? Back in 2013, he denounced human beings as a plague on the earth. He said humans constitute an enormous horde that is fast outgrowing the planet's space for them. He is a patron of Population Matters, where he states all our environmental problems become easier to solve with fewer people and harder and ultimately impossible to solve with more people. Here he is saying, slowing population growth is key to saving the planet. Right then, you got any ideas how to do that, David? Hmm? And this is what you get awards for from the United Nations. This is what puts you on their radar. Attenborough, in 2013, he said, either we limit our population growth or the natural world will do it for us. And the natural world is doing it for us right now. That's what he said. Okay, so what's he calling for policies for then? You just said the natural world is doing it for us now. So what's your problem? Problem solved. You're supposed to love nature. You said either we limit our population growth or the natural world will do it for us. And the natural world is doing it for us right now. So what's your problem? Why don't you just let nature take its course, David? Oh, but no, you're constantly asking for governments to bring in policies and to act now to reduce or to slow population. So what you're really doing is you're interfering with nature. You can't have it both ways. You're a hypocrite. As always, thanks for listening. Come and subscribe to HugoTalks.com, a place for like-minded souls, and I'll see you later.
So if David Attenborough wants to solve the problem, well, why doesn't he just say goodbye to the world and off himself?
Yes, exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Start.
Never works in their family.
Right. No, listen, if you want population growth to stop or whatever, just say, goodbye, cruel world. I'm going to lead the charge.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I could be the champion of the dead. You can give me another award after I die.
Why don't they start with their families?
Right. Let's start with you. Let's start with him. Let's start with him.
Yeah.
You're a plague. Okay, we're gonna give you a vaccination that'll put you out forever. We're gonna give you an injection that'll just put you out, and we'll kill you because you're part of the plague.
Yeah.
Right.
That is funny. That is funny because they think they're part of the answer and we're the problem.
Right.
So
no, we're the plague, but
we're
he's
both
the answer. Right.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I mean. And we're both humans. And he's against humans. But yet he's a part of the solution and we're the problem.
Correct.
Because, you know, he wants to – that's pretty strange. But I noticed something in the article he did in 2013 when I was looking at the, you know, watching the audio. There was an article that he did in 2013 calling humans a plague. Attenborough comes really close to suggest that starvation in Africa is what we should naturally expect in the current situation, or at the very least, such suffering is unavoidable. This is what he's saying in the article, until we reduce the number of Africans, you know. So I want you to think about that.
Sure.
I want you to think about that. And I want you to think about what we talked about Tuesday, about them targeting Africa, and I believe you got it right when you said it's about their natural resources yet to be unearthed. They're lining their pockets because the scripture I read last week talked about greed, you know,
right,
that
sure.
This is about part of it is greed, mainly greed. So isn't that funny? We were just talking about that on Tuesday. And you brought that up, and I haven't forgot it because I think you're right.
It's always Africa. Listen.
Yes.
Why is it that they don't do anything about the killings in Chicago? Why is it? Well, it's Africans against Africans. Why is it that they keep putting these abortion clinics in African communities?
Correct.
See? Again. It's just pure nonsense. Pure. And here's the thing.
It is.
Here's the thing with David. Why doesn't he say, this should happen in Great Britain. This extinction should happen in Great Britain, you know. Why doesn't he say that?
Yeah, really.
Yeah, yeah. It would get him into deep trouble, see?
Mm-hmm.
And despite all of his awards, which, by the way, they're all garbage. They're all garbage.
Yes.
Terrible. You know, champion of the world. Whoop-de-doo, like a Satan. You know, Satan shows up and say, look at my award, champion of the world. Oh, I have to flee. I have to get out of here. I came across a champion of the world. It's so stupid.
It is so stupid. It is.
And you know what's going to happen?
This is, you know, New Age pantheism. This is exactly. But that's an old Greek god or old Greek goddess.
Listen,
G-A-I-A. That's what they're worshiping here.
When they put that joker in the ground, I'm going to tell you, the worms are going to say one to another, he's the champion of the world, but we got to eat. So what do? And they're going to say, let's eat. Goodbye, David Attenborough. I mean, they're going to eat you alive.
He'll know the truth real quick.
Oh, my goodness. These people are so stupid.
Aren't they sick?
They're sick.
They're sick.
Sickos. Yeah. They're big-time sickos. Yep.
But that's
a
part of the new religion that they're bringing in. Now, you know, in Romans 1:25, in the NIV, it said they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. That's exactly what they do. They worship the earth, everything that was created, that God created. He created all things. We worship Him. Satan, on the other hand, uses things that God already created. You know,
right.
To get worship. So, you know, in this religion, you're worshiping the creation instead of the Creator. That's the only way I can see this. This is the only way I can see it. Everything they worship, the Mother Earth and all that, is all been created by God. So, you know, that's what they worship. It's terrible. It's terrible. We were talking about something one week, and you brought that up, you know, about them worshiping the creation. I forget what we were talking about at the time, but that's exactly, I think it was during the last series, and that's exactly what you said, the Church of Tares. I think that's exactly what you were talking about then, and that is it. Okay, now this one would be a good clip to keep too, and I'm going to give you some instructions on how far to take this. It should start automatically at 30:29, but stop it at 40:12, if you would. And this is a South Carolina church to host a drag queen worship service. Okay. This abomination is now in all denominations. Trust me with that. And the target is children, the youth. This is Trinity Lutheran Church in Greenville, South Carolina. And they've hosted Drag Me to Church before. But they're taking over these buildings and churches, you know, like crazy. So 30:29 to 40:12. Because after that, if you go past 40:12, they actually show or talk about or do and sing their worship songs. And I don't think we want to be listening to that. So if you want to play that.
Okay, started at, again, 30?
29. It should automatically go to 30:29.
Okay. Here it is.
And play it to 40:12.
Okay, here it is.
To get a sense of my voice. It turns out this has been way more draining than I ever imagined it would be. My church story, as many of you know, is one that begins with rejection, trauma, abusive theology, and feelings of unworthiness because of my sexuality. Now I'm having to dig all that up and share it. But it isn't like sharing the story I share with you guys on a monthly basis. Here, I am met with understanding and compassion, and I know that before I even start. But in these interviews, I am being asked to share my story with church leaders whose theology and affirmation level I do not know. My mind races with worry. Is this truly an affirming person I'm about to speak to? What does this person really feel about queer people being ordained? As I talk about challenging the church to be more inclusive, will this person feel like I am just challenging them personally? There is absolutely no way to know that until I'm about halfway through the conversation. I tell them of a Jesus who heard my prayers. I tell them of a God who finally led my husband and I to a family of faith who accepts us for who we are and celebrates us. But to tell them about that Jesus answering those prayers, I have to also tell them about the times Jesus ignored my prayers. You see, I resonate deeply, as do most queer Christians, with the Canaanite woman in tonight's passage. As an adolescent boy discovering my sexual attractions and desires for the same gender, I lived in constant fear of going to hell. The theology of my childhood beat me over the head with that message. The stories of salvation and grace were for everyone in the entire world except the gays. So what was I to do? I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed, and I prayed, trying my hardest to pray the gay away, just like other queer Christians. This is one of the most common stories among members of the LGBTQ community who grew up in a church. We pray to be healed of our queerness because we are told that our eternal life depends on it. But what does Jesus do? Jesus, in every instance, ignores us. Jesus, the great shepherd, the great healer, the loving and compassionate God made flesh, has no interest in answering my prayers to be made heterosexual. Jesus ignored me, or so I thought. Only now do I finally know better. Now I can imagine Jesus shaking his head lovingly as he heard mine and other desperate prayers from the queer community. He shakes his head and doesn't say a word as he waits patiently for us to find ourselves, find God's true love for us, and be made whole. He didn't answer my prayer to be straight because there was absolutely no need for an answer. There was only a need for me to finally awaken to my inherent self-worth as God's beloved child. And that's the story of the Canaanite woman. Use caution when you hear any interpretations of this text that are fairly standard, that come in the form of a man at a conservative fundamentalist church telling you that the Canaanite woman's story is simply a story of someone who needs to have more faith. I don't buy it. That is absolutely garbage. Jesus is doing something so totally different here, something so big that most of us fail to see it at first. Jesus, literally at the risk of looking and sounding like a bigot as he turns his back on this marginalized woman from outside his community, is giving her a moment to proclaim her truth. In fact, I think he is challenging her to proclaim her truth. He is challenging her to be herself and to use her personal voice. So she finally cries out that she is worthwhile. Even if people think she is not better than a dog, she has value. Only then, once she lays claim to what she deserves, is her daughter healed. Her daughter is finally healed, but read the text carefully, not by Jesus. Unlike the other healing stories, this one never explicitly tells us that Jesus did the healing. The woman, marginalized and other, who speaks out on behalf of herself and her daughter, is simply told, your daughter has been healed. Your wish has been given to you. So by using her voice, by demanding to be heard in the midst of people trying to shut her down and turn her away, this woman gets what she asked for. What she demanded is what she deserves because she is a human. Jesus was going around healing everyone else all over the place. Why wouldn't she get the same treatment? These beautiful and miraculous healing stories are telling us something so important here about the world then and the world today. Sure, they give us a deeper look into the power and divinity of Jesus, but they also tell us what Jesus cares to use that power for. In the story of the Canaanite woman and the story of the person who couldn't speak, we are seeing demons abolished. The world is full of demons. Power, money, greed, classism, racism, homophobia, transphobia, sexism, and even religion. These demons are always working to silence those of us on the margins. This was true in Jesus' time, is true today. You see, during these past weeks, when I was flooded with anxiety about speaking with church leaders about myself and about my call to be a leader for Christ, it was these demons telling me that I was insufficient, that I was worthless, and doomed to hell as a gay man. All those stories of my childhood came flooding to the forefront. These were the demons who put me at risk of being silent. And I had no choice. I had the opportunity to listen to those demons and water down my truth, or I could live into the generous love Christ has for me, just as I am, and tell my story just as it is, in all of its inclusive gospel goodness. Jesus is in the business of casting out these demons so that we can all speak our truth. Only when we are silenced do the demons thrive and survive. We are called to cast out these demons. Our voices, like the voice of the Canaanite woman, will slay these demons. Thrusting our voices into spaces where we once saw ourselves as insufficient, where we have been told we are not welcome, where we can see the injustices of homophobia, transphobia, racism, sexism, and power, make us nothing less than demon slayers, right alongside Jesus. I'm learning to become a demon slayer as I follow Jesus' example and the example of demon slayers I am blessed to have in my life. A few weeks ago, my husband and I spent a morning worshiping away from home, away from our beloved Trinity family. We went to hear a demon slayer preach as she served as guest preacher at a Baptist church. There, in the midst of all those Baptists, Trinity's Pastor Kroll proclaimed not just the gospel, not just the inclusive gospel, but the radically inclusive gospel we are experiencing in this very place. This Baptist church is a thriving LGBTQ-affirming church, but I left there wondering if the kind of message she preached that morning, a message deeply emboldened by God's love, had ever been heard there before. Even in affirming churches, leaders often feel a need to speak carefully about queer issues. Riding the fence leaves room for people to quietly be on one side or the other, and that keeps everything safe. That keeps the money rolling into the church, the people in the pews, and everyone smiling, unless you're queer. But that morning, guess what happened to that fence? It was plowed down. She might as well have been in a transfer truck driving over that fence. Demons were slayed because a voice refused to be silent. So when we are told things such as, oh, we don't talk about that here, or why don't you just keep that to yourself? Those are most likely demon voices hoping to silence those of us who have a truth that is different and challenging to them. Our voices put everything at risk. We risk upsetting the way things have always been. We risk rearranging power dynamics that keep certain people on top. We risk making comfortable and privileged people feel just a little bit uncomfortable. But Jesus calls us to do it anyway. Jesus calls us to use our voices, and he heals those who have been silenced with his unconditional love so that we might finally be brave enough to speak out. As people working on behalf of love, justice, truth, and peace, we, like the Canaanite woman, must never be quiet. We must never stop slaying demons. Thanks be to God.
I just want to hear one worship song.
Okay.
All right, I had enough. So,
and I think I made a mistake. I might have said Matthew 24 last time because I was just looking again at it when I was talking about the last time that was used by the other gay guy.
Right.
That it's Mark 7:24 through 29, I think, or 22, something like that. Let me
mm-hmm.
see.
Right.
You know, it was Mark I was referring to. It was just an accident. I said that. But that seems to be the twisted key scripture because that's two times we heard that same scripture being used in the gay
right,
church
right.
in two different ways. See,
right.
there was two interpretations of that.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what we're up against, folks. And, I, you know, those clips, there, feel free. We could do a whole show on the scriptures against this. I mean, you could just go on and on. You know that. I know
right.
that. I'm sure our brothers and sisters know that by now.
Right.
But if you want to use that these clips for anything you might want to do in the future,
mm-hmm.
do it, you know,
right.
And,
right.
and take them apart. So what
and
basically they want God to do is conform to their lifestyle.
Right.
You
right.
know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go ahead.
The thing is, here's the thing. The guy's argument makes no sense because the woman comes to Jesus because
mm-hmm.
her daughter has a demon and she cannot handle her daughter and the demon. So she comes to Jesus. According
Correct.
To him, Jesus turns her down and says, you're on your own. Then all of a sudden,
mm-hmm.
she discovered herself and now she has power over the demon. But wait a
mm-hmm.
minute, that's what drove her to Jesus, the fact that she couldn't handle
the demon. In
the
first place.
Right.
Yes, exactly.
So now all of a sudden she discovered that she had this secret power, this gay power?
Yeah.
To
Yeah.
What? First of all, the woman's not even gay. She's not
yeah.
gay. So why would a gay
that's
man
right.
be using the scripture, right? I mean, she's not gay. Why don't you
yeah.
find a gay person in the Bible? Who did something? Show us one passage of scripture because you're talking about the gays. The woman's not
mm-hmm.
gay. So,
that's
again,
right.
These are delusional sermons. And by the way, the place is
yes.
empty. The place is
yeah.
empty. They got a lot
well,
of chairs
the gay Christian
out.
Thing's an oxymoron anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
To say gay Christian the new. You know, but you notice they're even introducing, again, the CRT, BLM movement, you know,
mm-hmm.
because
sure.
this all fits into the agenda of the fourth wave feminism. It really does. This is the things we're dealing with
sure.
in this part of it. With the New Age, on top of the New Age, you know, movement,
mm-hmm.
it's crazy, isn't it? I mean, you just have
absolutely.
To, you know, praise
absolutely.
God for solid pastors because you're up against so much right now. It's
right.
not a matter of just you go
mm-hmm.
in and, yes, you're going to preach and all that. You've got all these belief systems that people
mm-hmm.
have come out of or confusion that you have to
right.
sort out for them. You know, you have to, and you do that with the word. I get that, you know. The word sorts everything. If you're preaching the word, you know, but they have all these ideologies, all these beliefs,
mm-hmm.
and they have been so dumbed down with this stuff, you know.
Right.
God bless you for you know, sticking with the Word of God in this, because it's really hard, because they have an argument, you know.
Well, but,
really.
But the argument is unfounded, because the first thing, listen.
Exactly.
You want to talk about gay rights, and you say that Jesus, he didn't listen to this woman. Oh, this poor woman, she's abused. Oh, this poor. Okay, first of all, the woman's not gay. Okay,
right.
So you can't use her as an example for you, because she's not you. She's not a homosexual.
Yes.
Right.
Right. Yes.
And then secondly, she comes to Jesus. Because she has a problem she can't handle.
Mm-hmm.
She's dealing with a demon. That's what drives her to Jesus.
Right.
And Jesus happens to solve her problem.
Mm-hmm.
He solves her issue. In fact, it is Jesus who tells the woman from this very moment. Now, remember, the woman didn't bring her daughter. The daughter's home. You know, if you read
right.
the synoptic accounts, the daughter's home.
Mm-hmm.
The daughter's
yeah.
not with the mother. So it is Jesus who informs her, listen, your daughter's whole. I just healed
mm-hmm.
her. So when this guy says, oh, she discovered the power of a voice. Oh, my gosh. What? The power of your voice?
Oh.
This is so stupid. Stupid. With
I know, but
ponytail.
You remember the last guy. Remember the last guy, what he said. And think about this. He was arguing that the scriptures against homosexuality were written by a man. But yet when he quoted a scripture, it was written by God. You see what I'm saying?
Right, right.
It's crazy because
sure.
the scriptures that they want to twist, they say are written by God. But yet the scriptures they don't like that condemns them, they say that they're written by man. So
right.
figure that one out. I mean, it's crazy.
Absolutely.
Jesus said this. And that, like that other man pointed out, but Jesus said this. No.
Correct.
No.
Correct.
You know.
Correct.
You see, it's terrible.
Right.
There's, like we said before, several times in atheism, when you're dealing with atheists, and they're calling themselves Christians, but please, there's no objective truth that can
right.
be established with these people. And that is the problem.
Mm-hmm.
You can't find the ground to have objective truth anywhere because they just keep changing it, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So when they say, well, this was written, okay, can we establish that the Word of God is a truth? That's the objective truth, okay? It's God's Word, you know, totally God's Word. It's not, you know, man's Word. This is God's Word. God breathed and everything.
Mm-hmm.
They can't even start with that. You know, you can't start with that with them because, you know, it's like, well, some parts are and some aren't, or like with an atheist, none of it is. You know, we're just finite. So, you know, I think that's the whole problem. You can't, you know, with getting to these people is finding that part where you can, some kind of objective truth that you can agree on. Because they won't. I don't know. It's up to you to figure this out. I have no idea. You know, I would probably just walk away, I guess. Because you can, you know, you can only go so far. So, okay, we can go to audio. Are you still there, by the way? You went quiet for a minute.
Well, it's a crying shame that these people are so lost.
Yeah, it is.
And they're believing their lies. They're believing their own lies. They're believing their own, you know, propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
It's just
yeah.
sad. It's just...
Yeah. It's really
it's
sad.
Just sad. Yep, yep, yep.
Well, I'm angry at the one guy I was angry because of the things he was saying about Jesus, the blasphemy, you know?
Right,
he just
right.
kept saying things. I felt sorry for this man. You know what I mean? A little more.
Mm-hmm.
I had some compassion. He's
just
lost.
Right.
You know?
Right.
The first guy, he was telling us, he's the theologian and Bible scholar, and he's
right.
telling us that Jesus was, you know, gay and all this kind of, you know, that made me angry. This guy, even though I disagree with everything he said, I would have more compassion on because he's just lost, you
exactly.
know?
Yep, yep, yep.
So you get my point. You get
Listen,
my point.
They love their sin. They love mm-hmm. their sin. They don't want to let go of their sin.
That's
they
exactly want to
feel comfortable in their sin. They want us yep. to validate their sin. They want us to say amen to their sin. And we're just not, mm-hmm. and that's what makes them mad, that there's still
yes.
people who cry out and say, repent.
Mm-hmm.
Repent. Hold on one minute.
Yep.
Let me play the next audio. I got to go take care of something.
Okay.
All right, set this up for us with the Elon Musk. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. This is Elon Musk's Twitter digital ID agenda. Hugo talks 0 to 7 minutes. Now, I believe, you know, he did purchase it. Isn't there a lot of controversy over it? But we'll see what, you know, Mr. Hugo's opinion is. That's it.
Okay.
0 to 7 minutes.
Okay.
Hello, you're listening to Hugo Talks. Elon Musk, he wants to buy Twitter outright. Yes, the billionaire puppet and pretend rebel who openly says he wants to put microchips into everyone's brain and track them with thousands of his satellites up high in the sky. Yeah, that guy. He says all of this and yet some deluded people still believe he is some kind of hero for free speech. Yeah, that guy. It appears he is now trying to buy social media platform Twitter completely. That's how it's being framed in the fake stream media. It's being telegrammed that this could be an actual done deal by the end of today. And that's probably because it was all planned long ago. Because, as I've said in my previous videos about him, the video "Is Elon Musk One of the Good Guys?" Check it out if you haven't seen it, where I go into his family and his obvious contradictions. I think Elon Musk, I believe he's just a mascot. He's just a front person, a face that makes what this organization is doing, putting satellites up in the sky and talking about putting microchips in people's brains, it makes it seem like it's coming from an individual person and an individual company, as opposed to possibly an amalgamation of international corporations and establishments, international bankers, governments, who are trying to install an international digital control network over the human race. And imagine, if you will, if a company that was owned by governments, the United Nations, the World Bank, the World Economic Forum, funding from the IMF, et cetera, a company owned by these organizations was doing just that, who were openly talking about putting microchips into people's heads and putting up thousands of satellites up in the sky across the earth to track everyone and everything. People would be up in arms. But instead, we have a company fronted by this character, Elon Musk, a character who is constantly promoted in the fake stream media as a rebel, as someone who is against the system, with appearances on the Joe Rogan Show, smoking a big spliff in order to cultivate that fake rebel image, saying he is with the freedom truckers when he is investing in driverless trucks, which would eventually put truckers out of a job. It's all a load of phony baloney. When isn't it these days? And now we have this character called Elon Musk looking to buy Twitter outright. And he gave the game away on Twitter the other day when he said this. He tweeted, "If our Twitter bid succeeds, we will defeat the spam bots or die trying." Wow. So Elon Musk is spending $46 billion to buy Twitter because he doesn't like the spam bots on their site? Wow. He is spending all of that money just for that. If you believe this, then you will believe anything. I mean, come on, wise up. Then he added this to the tweet. He said, "And authenticate all real humans." So he says, if our Twitter bid succeeds, we will defeat the spam bots or die trying and authenticate all real humans. Now, this is what it is all about. This is the establishment taking control of big social media platforms and making it mandatory for users to give up their name, telephone number, address, facial photograph, and probably more. And you can rest assured that eventually it will incorporate the digital ID green pass crap they are also trying to push onto everyone across the world. And once again, they are using Elon, the pretend rebel Musk, to do this under the disguise of free speech, under the ridiculous notion that this person is spending $46 billion because he finds spam bots mildly annoying. No, the Elon Musk was also a young global leader under the World Economic Forum. Here you can see in this article from 2008, along with all the other tyrants like Trudeau, Macron, Ardern, all of these tyrants we see playing puppet tyrant on the world stage at the moment. Elon's one of them, playing his part as puppet billionaire. And this will be the start of all of these big platforms, I imagine, the social media platforms, introducing digital ID authentication in order to use them, which is a shame because, you know, I find Twitter quite useful for searches and people notify me about stuff. It's quite useful. But again, when that comes to pass, I will be gone because I am not putting in my details into it. And secondly, I know this will eventually lead to it syncing up with the digital ID. That's the plan anyway, unless people can wake up to it. So much for Elon, the pretend billionaire rebel and champion of free speech. As you can see, with most of this stuff these days, what you are being told is quite the opposite completely. And the enforcement of authenticating humans and digital IDs on Twitter, it's not going to affect all of those blue tick accounts because they have already given over those details. Who it will affect will be Mr. and Mrs. Joe Blogs. This will affect them because I would imagine once this system is installed and everyone having their details attached to their probably only one account, they'll only be allowed one account, then with that knowledge in place within the system, then the threat of legal action against people for saying stuff will be highlighted probably in a few fake stories and cases in the media to scare people. And because people's names and addresses are attached to their accounts, they will then become too afraid to speak out, leaving the floor for all of the controlled blue tick accounts to talk and promote whatever propaganda they have been told to push out for that day. You see how it works? Which is why you should come and subscribe to the website at hugotalks.com, as eventually people like...
Is that it? He's going into advertising now? Okay.
Yep.
So...
Yep.
Yeah. Look... He's worth $300 billion, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, he's going to control. He's going to control.
Yep, part of the, yep. He wants to authenticate real humans. Now, this is where I had Matthew 20. I was looking at a sheet. I have Matthew 24, 22 in the ESV. And if those days had not been cut short, no human being would be saved. For the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. I've mentioned it before, and most pulpit commentaries say that this refers to war, faction fights, and massacres. But considering what we see right now, you know, I'm wondering if it has a broader meaning, if you know what I mean. I rushed through that. Could have a broader meaning. I really think that. So, you know, than just that. So we're going to go to audio 7, and this kind of backs up a little bit because we've got 8-minute audio here. Do we have time to do it? I think we do.
Okay.
And this is 0 to 8:18, and this is Hugo again. Nigeria blocks 73 million smartphones for no digital ID.
Wow. Okay, here it is.
Hello, you're listening to Hugo Talks. Now, this story, well, it's a few days old, but I haven't seen many other people talking about it. And once again, it's another example of how the smartphone is being used to push through these agendas. Here we see Nigeria blocks 73 million mobile phones in security clampdown, it says. It says outgoing calls barred on mobile SIMs not linked to NIN database, which is a digital ID database. One-third of all mobile users blocked for failing to comply. Nigerians raise concerns over privacy, data security, and access. It says here, Nigeria has been rolling out 11-digit electronic national identity cards for almost a decade, which record an individual's personal and biometric data, including fingerprints and photographs. So there you go, biometric data, fingerprints, and photos. So basically, more than a third of 198 million people in Nigeria have been blocked from making outgoing calls because they're not registered in the national digital identity database, yeah? So it's all about, once again, herding people into the ID database, the digital prison, the social credit score, the 24/7 tracking, monitoring, etc., etc. Blackmailing, coercing those who are very understandingly distrusting of their government, trying to get them to give away their details, get them signed up to the digital ID network. Now, this is going to be the tactic they're going to use elsewhere, I believe, and it will probably also include the internet as well. And Nigeria's excuse for this is because of a recent attack somewhere, I believe. So they're using that as an excuse to say this is for the public safety. Now, I don't know what this recent event was, but it wouldn't surprise me if you were to look into it, that it's a good chance it appears a bit dodgy. Looking into it, maybe it was set up in order to give them the excuse to use this to blackmail the public. Now, an interesting point here is that Nigeria have very little in regards to landlines. It turns out that back starting in the year 2000, the government of Nigeria would cut people's landlines for no reason. We're really slow at repairing landlines. The cost of repairs were astronomical. The bills for landlines were supposedly constantly incorrect, and over the years, dealing with them was apparently a real pain. Mobile phones then, of course, around that time appeared in Nigeria and took off, and the landlines collapsed, which basically means everyone has a mobile phone and relies on them solely for communication. There's very little landlines in Nigeria. Now, the UK, for example, the government has stated they are going to make landlines obsolete over the next few years, so by 2025. They're planning on there being no landlines in the UK by 2025. Everything will be digital. So now you know why, because if they had landlines in Nigeria, they wouldn't be able to blackmail them with cutting them off and herding them into these digital prisons through the smartphone. Here's a clip.
Many subscribers in Nigeria say they are disappointed with the government's directive to disconnect unregistered phone lines. The measure became effective on the 4th of April, and 72 million people have already been barred from making phone calls in Africa's most populous country.
It's too bad. I cannot make calls, but I can receive calls. So it's a mess to me. I think the government should try and rectify the fault.
It's a great disappointment and obviously about all the good things. I think I believe that I'm to be blamed because I've been forewarned severally when I make call that I'm going to be disconnected if I did. But at the time, I thought it was a joke. But surprisingly, when I made a call again, it didn't go.
The move is meant to help authorities fight insecurity, including a spate of kidnappings. And this public affairs analyst says people had enough time to do the needful.
It has been economic planning, actually. Because when you look at the teledensity, how many Nigerians are on each of the networks, just like BVN accepts in the fight of economic crimes, the NIN is also going to help in the fight against insecurity, also to help in national planning, because then you know who are using what.
Nigeria has over 198 million active line across networks as of February this year, while 125 million subscribers have had their national education numbers submitted for immediate linkage, verification, and authentication. This shows that over 73 million lines have not been submitted for linkage.
So there you go. When I talk about the smartphones, about how they are the spy, the big brother device you carry around with you, how it is these phones, which are going to be the primary tool in how these establishments are going to attempt to coerce the public into these digital prisons. Unfortunately, the majority of people, they can't see this. And even if they do, or they have an inkling, they're so addicted to the phones, they don't want to even think about it. They will put it off. And if you add the internet on top of that, the possibility of cutting off the internet, that will make it very, very difficult for people. Personally, I will not be party to any of this, okay? I'm mentally preparing myself for that day when I am told either you do this, you get the ID passport, you get the jib jab, or whatever the ultimatum is, either you do this or we are going to cut off your internet, cut off your phone, you're going to be cut off from the digital world. And that will be the day I will stop uploading videos, and that will be it, because I'm not playing in their game, okay? So that will be difficult if it comes to that, but so be it, you know? The digital world is merely a fake creation of the real world anyhow, is it not? You know? I mean, a lot of people complain. They say to me, you're so against technology. I'm not. I think it can be a great embellishment to life, but the technology is being used to trap people into not having a life. It's like digital payments. I've got nothing against digital payments, okay? As long as they're an embellishment to the cash system and other forms of payment. But no, they want to change it to digital payments only, which is being done to control you and control what and how and when you spend money. So I'm not against technology, okay? Now, I'm going to do a follow-up to the controversial Trump New Age Doctors video, highlighting your comments, talking about that. It was quite controversial, so I'm only featuring comments from the Hugo Talks page where the video is residing. So,
all right, so...
Yep.
So
think about it.
Yeah.
Think about it. When they get everything... Well, when he... Yeah, think about it. When they get everything digital, they can just shut you down.
Sure.
You can't buy or sell. I mean, if you're
right.
buying and selling is only available through technology, they just shut the technology off.
Right, right.
Amazing.
Right. It is. It is. You know, I was thinking, you know, when the... When COVID came, right, they told everybody, okay, everybody
mm-hmm.
stay home. Everybody stay
mm-hmm.
home. Okay, so this is an idea that I have. Antichrist will show up,
mm-hmm.
and he'll say, okay, let's martial law. Everybody stay home. Now, you're a Christian. You're home. It's a Christian family. You're home. You're in lockdown. Everybody's told to stay home or you'll be arrested. And there you are. You'll be easy pickings. They'll knock on your door. Okay, is this the so-and-so residence? Yes, it is. Okay, they line you up, and here you go.
Yep.
You're gone. Because, where are you going to run? Everything is digital now.
Nowhere. Yeah.
Everything is digital.
And when they shut that off, you think about it, they replace it with something else they can. I mean, they can say when all your technology, okay, now you need a chip or a mark or, you know,
right.
you need something
mm-hmm.
so we can ID you.
Right.
And then you can buy and sell things. I mean,
sure.
that's exactly what the Bible states, that
right.
you won't be able to buy and sell. So we can
mm-hmm.
see the plan, how the plan could be going, you
right.
know.
It's unfolding.
Amazing, isn't it?
It's unfolding right before our eyes.
Yep. Yep.
It is what it is. So,
mm-hmm.
boy, what great news today. Fantastic news.
Wow. Thank
fantastic,
you. We rushed
fantastic.
Through it, but we got them done.
Yeah. You know, this queer thing, this thing happening in the churches.
Yeah.
This is going to start building.
Yes.
This is going to be... They're just going to get more emboldened. But, mm-hmm. you know, those of us who have these churches, we're just going to have to write all this stuff into our church constitution and just fight them off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, all we have to do is really tell the queers, go to the queer churches. They want you. Become
mm-hmm.
a queer mega church. Just become a queer mega church.
Yeah.
Don't stay here. Just go where you want it. Right? Because I look at the
but
queer churches.
But they infiltrate to sue. They infiltrate to sue, too. So
right.
they'll come into a church and then, you know, and I know someone who had that happen, you know, infiltrate
yeah.
like a prayer meeting,
mm-hmm.
get in an argument, and then get sued. You
right.
know what I mean? Or saying, you know, certain things
mm-hmm.
About standing up for the word of God, getting sued and say that's discrimination now. See?
Right, right, right. Well, it listen, we're preaching the word of God. This is our
mm-hmm.
this is our safe zone. You queers have your safe zones. This is our safe
mm-hmm.
zone. And this
that's
is what
right.
we believe and this is what we hold to. And if you want to be queer, no, go ahead and be all the queer you want. You know,
mm-hmm.
load yourself up on queer. If that's what you like, just, you know, just go and be the best queer you can be. And but not here.
Yeah.
Not here. Right?
Yeah.
So
yep.
That's it. That's it. Well,
I wound you up with this
word.
Show, didn't I?
Yeah. What?
I said I really wound you up. I wound you up
with
good. This show.
Well, it was good. It's great. It's great to, you
yeah.
know, start shadow boxing again and, you know, start doing
yes,
the one
yes.
true, you know. And, yeah, it's great to do that all over again. So,
yeah.
great.
Have a heart
great,
attack
great
for
show.
Jesus.
That's it. That's it. That's
yeah.
it.
Oh, thank you. Thank
yep.
you.
You have the last word.
Well, everybody have a wonderful week, and, you know, we'll see you next time. Take care. Bye.
No, 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 no,